Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, and we are continuing our conversation with Jairus and Kara, young couple that has recently come out of the LDS Church, and they've been kind enough to come and share their story. A question that I often want to ask, and it's something that has always perplexed me, and maybe this did not happen in your case, but I've talked to many people that have come out of the Mormon Church, and usually what I find when it comes to loved ones and friends is that usually there is not a feeling of deep grief or sympathy or concern when a fellow Latter-day Saint leaves the church, but usually the emotion is anger. And I don't know if that happened with you. Maybe you can kind of share how was it coming out with those that were very close to you? Did a lot of them come to you and ask, well, what are you thinking about? What are you looking at? How can I help? What was kind of your story on that?
I didn't sense or really experience too much anger per se. At the time, people started noticing, whether it was posts or comments on Facebook, that started not sounding so Mormon. We had a little bit of questioning for a very short period, little bit of opposition and questioning in regards to our comments, and then communication pretty much went silent.
So after it became pretty much apparent to those that were close to you, there was really not any effort on their part to try and change your mind?
Not a ton. It was really kind of just, it felt in a way such as abandonment. And not that they've abandoned us per se, but that, you know, I realize that there's a big barrier there now where they're going, I don't know what to say to them. You know, they're probably afraid of offending us. We definitely don't want to offend them or come out, in this hyper evangelical method.
It definitely does become awkward because, let's be serious, in a Mormon context, the church is everything. You probably noticed that when you were members of the church, your whole life revolved around the church.
Oh, yeah.
And to take that element out of the equation, it kind of takes a lot of the conversation away with it. And what are you going to talk about?
It does.
And I can understand, I think I really understand the awkwardness coming from the Mormon part, maybe not wanting to broach some of these subjects. I guess you were fortunate. I've heard so many horror stories of how some Latter-day Saints are treated once they realize Joseph Smith is not a prophet of God. And it always perplexes me because, especially when you have Mormonism being such a team effort, you're saved as a family, okay? The whole idea is being with a family in the next life. To see one of that family unit be left out, you would think would cause all sorts of heartache and grief. And I'm sure with some of them it does. I'm not saying that it never does. I'm sure it does. But it seems like most of the time, the stories that I'm hearing is that they're met with very strong resistance and even anger sometimes. So it's fortunate that you didn't seem to face that, Jairus. How about you, Kara?
Well, I think, you know, the fact that they're all silent now, it may not be anger, but it's definitely not easy to handle with, you know, all of the family is put up a wall that we have to now figure out how to climb over to even communicate with them. I've been trying to keep the lines of communication open by just always including them and in any decisions that we make and letting them know what's going on in our lives. I recall an email that I shared with one of his cousins, and they were more concerned not with what we were believing, but more of the procedural type things that were going on. Were we disclosing any of the information that we'd learned in the temple to our new Christian friends? Did we dispose of our garments officially and correctly when we went about that?
It's not like the endowment ceremony is really all that secret anymore. I mean, you can hear recordings and get the transcripts of them off the web.
But you felt they were more concerned about the procedures than they were perhaps even about you?
Right. And it was, they said that they care about me and that they love me, but they didn't offer to answer questions or to be there for us if we needed anything. There was no offers. It was more of just, well, make sure that you're keeping our secrets safe. And
Interesting. Well, you guys have been out of the LDS Church now for about 16 months, officially becoming Christians in August of 2010. My question is this: neither Bill nor I were ever LDS. A lot of people are surprised by that, but we never were. And so we can't know a story like you guys know a story. And I want to know, what are some of the toughest things you have to deal with a year and a half later as a Christian? What are some of the things you deal with on a regular basis that your brothers and sisters in church should know as Gentiles, not having been where you've been, that might be an encouragement? Those people, the Gentiles, we Gentiles, I'm calling us as never being LDS, that can be an encouragement to people like yourself. Do you have any suggestions for us?
The biggest thing that comes to my mind is that once a Mormon, at least my experience, believes the LDS Church, it's not over. For me, it hasn't been over yet. I still have continual times of... I still investigate. My investigation didn't end with becoming a Christian. My investigation of the Mormon Church continues, and my library of LDS literature grows so I can continue to research it, to know the truth and error of the situations. But in doing so, you run across times where you're going, oh my goodness, what if this is true? What if I'm missing something?
Oh, I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot from people who have come out.
It happens to me quite regularly, but what's even better than that is when that comes, God without fail, the Lord has always, no exaggeration, shown me the truth through that question of hesitation or of what if. There's too many to name. I can't name any, but I mean, just something will come in question. And whether it was within minutes or even a day or a week, the Lord would provide an answer, because his word is truth. And you go to the Bible and you can reveal truth, and you go to LDS history and you can see that it clashes with the Bible. But God's always there to carry you through it and make sure that you validate it. You don't need a prophet to dissect God's word to tell you what God's word says. It speaks for itself. And that's the most amazing thing to me.
What would you say, Kara?
I believe that there's been a lot of times that I've just been sitting back, getting ready to read in my Bible or getting ready for church on Sundays, and I feel like I sometimes fall back into that works mentality of, all right, I have to do this because then God will be happy with what I'm doing and he'll bless me in my life. Or, you know, just going to church, or I'm serving in the youth ministry, and I've got to make sure that I do these things, not because I'm grateful for what God's given me and I want to, you know, make his work go forward, but because
it's a duty.
Yeah.
You feel it, and that's hard to get out of your system, isn't it? Because you were ingrained there that you have to do this, that, and the other for the hope of possibly, you guys were temple worthy, so you really were hoping to get exaltation.
Correct.
And absolutely, that has translated into a struggle. So maybe the people at your church need to know that and maybe encourage you to help you to be able to relax in Jesus sometimes, I guess. I don't know. That maybe is what I'm taking from what you're saying.
Well, there's an old saying that you can get a person out of Mormonism, but it takes a long time to get the Mormonism out of the person.
Yeah.
And what we're hearing here is a very typical story. So if you're a former Latter-day Saint and you find yourself going through a very similar situation, it's not that unusual. I mean, when something has been such a huge part of your life and all of a sudden it's set aside, naturally there's going to be some leftovers there that are going to affect you every once in a while. And I remember talking to an ex-Mormon that we had helped bring out of Mormonism, and she used a phrase that was a very Mormon phrase, and I kind of looked at her and smiled, and she thought,
I don't, you know, like, I don't believe I just said that, you know, it was still there, you know, and we got a good laugh out of it, you know, but I think that's something that needs to get across to people that have never been in that situation. A lot of people just don't understand that that's one of the things you have to deal with when you're coming out of it. But if is there anything you can quickly say to someone who is making this kind of transition, maybe they haven't done it verbally, but there's thinking in their mind, there's something wrong here. What would be your real quick encouragement to them?
You're not alone. Like, just go to a local Christian church and talk to the pastor, and he can direct you to someone who's an ex-Mormon who is going through or been through the exact same things and felt the same things.
Jairus? Something you'd
I would say, yeah, very similar to that. If you're questioning, it's not because you're doing something wrong. I did have a bishop once tell me that there is a point where you can ask too many questions, and that is false. Truth does not shy from questions. And so my advice would be, if you're having questions, keep asking them, and ask them till you find truth and validate as truth. Test it, because you know it's kind of a hidden thing within Mormonism, and you don't really learn it until you're out of the Mormon church. But once you're outside of that veil, you actually start to realize and see how many Mormons are questioning themselves, and they're just hiding it because they're afraid of the attack or the, you know, bad publicity that they'll get within their family or their ward or whatever.
Social standings.
Yeah, social standings are shattered if your friends and family find out that you're questioning. But don't be afraid of it. The Lord will carry you through, and he'll show you the way.
Well, as we come up to the last 30 seconds of this show, I just want to thank you guys for coming on. I know this must not have been very easy, being so out of the church not a very long time, but I think your testimony is going to help a lot of people, both non-Mormons and Mormons alike. And so I'm going to pray that God will use these shows in a positive way, and that you guys will be able to continue on your Christian journey and grow stronger in the Lord each day.
And I hope that others will see how God works among the hearts of many Latter-day Saints that we might not see on the outside, but actually God is working within them to bring them to his truth. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 in Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information, or call 602-788-8864.